listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings. Welcome in week 11 of your National Football League. It's already underway. We'll review the happenings of Thursday night. We'll talk about the college football slate and, well, a guy who has a giant contract in the offing and then got smacked around as long as the signatures, right? DocuSign, don't you get those ads all the time? I sure as hell do. Make sure that was all accounted for before that result. Come on in, have a cup of coffee, walk the dog, go to services, back from services, whatever you're doing on a Sunday morning. Thanks for being part of the extended family. Mike Harmon alongside Bucky Brooks. You see him Amazon on Thursday nights alongside Daniel Jeremiah and Joy Taylor. Fox Sports Digital, hanging with Colin Cowherd, mentoring across the great Southern California area, and then comes in and hangs out with me for a couple hours on a Sunday, dropping wisdom. I mean, that's like totem pole, but kind of low. I mean, it's the short squat shoulders that help prop up the rest of it. At Bucky Brooks, where you find him on Twitter. How you doing, man?
Man, I'm good. I'm good. It's another football Sunday. It's a Sunday fun day. So it's always fantastic. We got some good matchups on the horizon, some marquee games. Had some good college games. Well, hold up. I won't say good college games.
Hold up. I like the way you did that.
We had some games involving top talent. This weekend. So it's good. It's good. I'm looking forward to it.
Some chaos atop the rankings for sure. Oregon with the not only a loss, they got handled mightily. Never in doubt as that one just got uglier and uglier. And that became a, hey, I'll check in on it later. Utah 38-7. Your final number 23 Utes at home, take care of business. I alluded to it at the beginning. We talked a lot over the course of the week, Bucky, about Mel Tucker and that $95 million contract. Ooh. What's real? What's imagined? Mm-hmm. Where's the money coming from? We did all of that due diligence, right? You got a couple of guys that are spearheading this this process to make sure that Michigan State, because they've beaten Michigan 2 years in a row and things are on the upswing with Mel Tucker, said, no, he's not going to get poached. And as a guy who's already moved once, we saw that, right, as he came to Michigan State after 1 year in Colorado, that perhaps he would leave. Well, the Buckeyes said, well, that's a lot of noise. It's a lot of love for Michigan State this week. Let's go out and let's go handle that now, shall we? 56-7, your final. And I don't know about you, but my favorite meme on the internet comes from The Simpsons. Stop. He's already dead when Krusty goes to Clown College and he's going to help sell a bunch of Krusty burgers. And then, well, he beats the little Hamburglar dude. And the kids are crying. That's kind of what we saw yesterday with Michigan State.
Yeah, no, look, it was a lopsided matchup, and you saw it from the get-go. Ohio State, C.J. Stroud, that talented trio of wide receivers that Ohio State has, they are up and down the field, big play after big play after big play, and they're just on a different level. And I will say this about Ohio State, particularly Ohio State team that lost to Oregon. They have improved since that early season loss to Oregon. And so now when you look at them, they are squarely in the mix. I mean, they are squarely a top four team. And you can see a scenario with whether they take on Georgia, Alabama, or whatever, they might be good enough to be the last team standing.
And we know we're going to see Georgia and Alabama again. They will face each other. So we will have the battle that'll knock somebody out of these ranks. So it's fun. Theoretical, still working through it, obviously. Folks getting a little bit excited about, well, if you're going to get Cincinnati up there and they've got their one win, which looks like more and more quality with what Notre Dame's done, they're kind of sneaking around the chicken coop, would be how I would describe Notre Dame in all of this. Pretty quiet. I mean, only one more game against Stanford, so they're not exactly a world beater. But, hey, they've beaten a couple of top teams, so maybe there's a little more respect on that than there would be otherwise. But you've got the Roadrunners down at number 20, 22. Hey, we're undefeated too. Talk about us.
Yeah, look, I understand it. I respect the job that they've done down there. They are undefeated. But, man, they're winning a lot of nip-and-tuck affairs. And if they're going to be one of the teams that gets into the mix, they're going to have to be far more impressive than that to do it. And you have another team up there. You talk about the Cincinnati Bearcats, who have been scratching and clawing and trying to get some notoriety and trying to get enough respect and recognition to be in the mix. I think the Roadrunners have – they got to worry about climbing over Cincinnati before they can get into the conversation.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to include them because they're an unbeaten team down in the 20s. So it's just the, hey, raise the hand. Because they need some national radio recognition. Mm-hmm. And why not do it first thing on a Sunday morning? There's your minute, Roadrunners. Well, we love you. And the Bearcats. You know, they finally actually have some separation in a game.
Yeah.
It's been a minute. scares.
They took SMU to the shit, a little bit beat up on them pretty good. Desmond Ridder had an outstanding game. Continues to kind of show why people are beginning to get excited about his potential NFL prospects. But this is a really, really good team. Luke Fickell has done a great job putting them in the mix. And so here we go. Conversation's going to be interesting. Can't wait to see what is revealed this week when we talk about the top six seeds, who's going to be in and all that other stuff is always fascinating.
Always fun, especially with that Oregon loss, to see how that flows. We turn our attention back Thursday night football. Obviously, it's a one-sided conversation other than the is Matt Ryan done, which I think you and I had talked before the season that we were trending that way, and now it just looks like a guy who's lost.
Yeah,
and has lost the will to fight. Is the larger thing in that game. I mean, look, a couple games in a row where they're just getting absolutely manhandled. We knew the defense wasn't much coming in. Calvin Ridley being away is an issue, quite obviously. And again, hoping he's finding, you know, what he needs away from the team. But Kyle Pitts was supposed to be that guy, no matter what kind of coverage you would be able to find him to make big plays. Not there. Julio Jones gone. No. Not that he's been a huge factor in Tennessee because he can't stay on the field, but there's nothing there offensively. And you saw New England, while it wasn't the excellence of execution, it still comes away. I like that Bill Belichick was mad about it. They win 25-0, and you would have thought, you know, they squeaked out a field goal game.
Yeah, I think the big thing about the Patriots and the Patriots conversation, what Bill Belichick does is typically the better his team plays, the harder he is on them. The worse his team plays, the more he spends his time in trying to build them up and letting them know that they can be pretty good. I think they've gotten to the point now where I think we all can kind of see that this is a pretty good team that's kind of rounded into form. And a lot of the conversation has been around Mac Jones. And Mac Jones has been really solid. I think some of it has been overblown. He's been a very solid performer for them in this offense, and the numbers look great at first glance. But when you dig a little deeper, they're doing some things to really make it very, very easy for the young quarterback to have success. And this is a team that is built on the defense, the running game, and then Mac Jones just making a handful of plays. I believe that this is a team that looks eerily similar to the early 2000s versions of the Patriots when the evil empire started, when they were able to kind of beat people with it seemed like a bunch of no names, particularly on offense, a quarterback that no one knew, a 6th-round pick from Michigan and Tom Brady. But it was the defense with Billy McGinnis and Ted Bruschi and all those other guys, those old crusty veterans on that side, kind of whooping up on people. That's what I see from this team now.
Well, it's funny because people make it about the comparison to Brady. It's like, no. As a whole team, the way they built it. Right, because everybody gets nervous because they don't want to, you know, upset the altar of Tom Brady, which is some people, and then some folks are always trying to chip away at the stone and knock it down either way. But the way this team's constructed, and we talked about it coming into the season, if you just looked at what Bill Belichick did with that squad last year with all the opt-outs on defense, Cam Newton, who was coming off a big surgery and with no talent on the outside, no money spent, they still went 7-9.
Yeah.
Now, is that something to write home about? No, but to me, I argued it was one of his better coaching jobs he ever did because you basically had to play a shell game the entire season.
I think there's an old saying, you got blood from a turnip.
That would sound about right.
That's what he was doing.
So
butter from a duck. All those sayings, he was able to do it. He was able to extract stuff that you wouldn't normally expect to see from a team like that. Because when you looked at a team last year, they didn't have anything, but they were still able to be in a ton of games. And if not for an unfaithful bounce here or there, that was a team that was going to have a winning record despite all of the issues that they had with 8 COVID opt-outs and not having everybody and a quarterback that missed time and wasn't the same after he dealt with COVID. to now have an upgrade because they spent a lot of money in the offseason upgrading the defense. A lot of veterans came over, even at the wide receiver position. You go and you get your offensive line back, you upgrade that. Trent Brown comes over. You get a quarterback that you feel like can operate within the system and thrive. And that is what Mac Jones is. Mac Jones is the perfect distributor in this offense. And when we make these comparisons, it's not a knock to Tom Brady or to Mac Jones, but if you go back, I know everyone likes to romanticize what Tom Brady is and what he always has been, but go back and look at how he played the first 5-6 years right in the league. His job was to be a careful distributor, play winning football, meaning not turn it over, make sure they got in and out the huddle, did the right things, and they allowed the team to win. If you go back and you chronicle how the Patriots used to win back then, a lot of 3- and 7-point wins. A lot of games that were done at the wire, which is why we celebrate Adam Vinatieri, because to play the way that they played, they needed a knockdown nails kicker, and that's what they had. And they're back to being able to play that way. Because remember, this Atlanta Falcons team that we're celebrating the Patriots whooping, they beat them 25-0. The week before, the Dallas Cowboys ran them out the building 43-3.
Yeah.
And so that's the thing. We're celebrating like, oh, man, they just did it. 25-0, but it was a 19-0 until the backups came and throwing pick sixes.
But then it was a Thursday night standalone game.
Yeah.
And so what's everybody your narrative saw it. Everybody on a Friday morning?
Yeah,
because we talked about it as it went on. It's like it's Nick Folk has to take on the Adam Vinatieri role as this season rolls on. So he's going to have to be nails. And you saw the one time Jones did get greedy, he got picked.
Oh, yeah.
Right? He made that great throw to Hunter Henry. And then he saw Johnny go out, and he's got three guys on him,
and
Terrell gets his opportunity. But that was the only plus-20-yard error
throw of
the day.
And when you get there, because I know your normal partner, Jason Smith, Jets fan, Jace devotee, is he off that Mike White thing? Is he off that now?
I think I've successfully
crossed. He's off that.
I've taken him into some therapy, and I think we've moved that off.
I think Mike White,
although we got to talk about what they're doing today, because I've watched a lot of football. I've been around the block a few times. What they're doing today makes no sense.
So here's the thing. When you're watching the Patriots with him and y'all had that discussion, just tell him to, on a piece of paper when Mac Jones is playing, just count the number of out routes and running back swings and checkdowns that the Patriots are doing. And you will be amazed at how many routes that he's completing at 5 yards or fewer.
Yeah.
It is the ultimate paper cut offense. They are nicking and cutting. Then you look down there and you're like dripped in a pool of blood off paper cuts because there is nothing vertical about their offense. And I just wonder, because this is the way the 2000s version played, I just wonder how long are they going to be able to get away with this when they begin to play these elite teams over the next month of the season.
5-game win streak, decided margin of victory, right? Defense playing well. Judon, a guy. Mm-hmm. Like normally it goes the other, like just Baltimore's the same way, right? All right, we get rid of a guy. He's probably at his expiration date, or it's probably just passed. Kind of like you test your milk before you pour it into anything. Yeah same thing as New England has done all these years. But what's funny is my partner, Jason Smith, in the evenings here on Fox Sports Radio, for those unaware, he had actually picked the Patriots to go to the AFC title game before the season.
Oh, good.
So he's going to crow about that, even though, you know, trying to explain to him, you know,
I mean,
it's
not a bad thing, because the reason why the Patriots have a chance is because on defense, they can put a blanket on every offense. The way that they're playing right now with those veteran players, they're the ultimate chameleon. Each and every week, you don't know what they're going to show up and throw at you. Sometimes it's man heavy week. Next time it's zone heavy week. Sometimes they pressure. Sometimes they sit back in coverage. They are confounding, and you never know what you're going to face, and that is problematic for teams trying to come out there and say, hey, man, we're going to do what we do, but we don't know what they're going to do. And so because they can keep the score down, it allows them to play a certain way. And with the league becoming increasingly smaller on defense, they decide that they want to go play 80s football, big backs running at you, power football. The league zigs. Oh, Bill Belichick zags.
And you got Boland, you got Stevenson, and you've got Damian Harris. So you got the
everybody
just
else,
like back in 2000.
Yeah, everybody else is trying to hit the speed bag. When you deal with the Patriots, you got to hit the heavy bag.
Did you say that because Rocky III has started in front
it
of
is.
Us? Yeah.
It is. How about
we're
that?
We're going to celebrate Clubber Lang and, of course, Paulie, one of the greatest characters. I think I might write a book about Paulie at some point. See if I can hook up and talk to Burt Young a little bit. All right, our job here for the rest of the show, we're going to go through the games of Week 11 in earnest, get you some of the injury information, some fantasy nuggets along the way. If you have sit starts, get them in at Swollen Dome. We're going to try to do those rapid fire right after the show ends. Why? Because I'm on a bird going east. I finally get to see my family again. Pretty fired up about that. And obviously keeping apprised of Bears and Ravens while in the air and my family and friends torment me as we go. At Bucky Brooks, where you find him on Twitter. You find me over at Swollen Dome. If you're a valued customer, you deserve a simple gesture of appreciation from your credit card company. And that's why Discover matches all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year. Discover, exceptionally common sense. Learn more at discover.com/match. Limitations do apply. Coming up next, team that has won 3 in a row. People jumping back on the wagon. But should they? We'll do that next here on Fox.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Welcome back in. It's Fox Sports Radio's Fox Football Sunday. Mike Harmon alongside Bucky Brooks, our team fully assembled. Nick Battaglia, his final run with us here on Sunday mornings. Chris Perfett, our technical producer, at Chris Perfett, Pride of Detroit, also where you can read him. And, of course, Isaac Lohenkron over on the update desk. We'll hear from Ilo as injury notes are starting to flow through here on a Sunday morning as we go. But as we do, Bucky, it's time to kick it off, and let's do it with a real doozy.
Cowboys versus Chiefs.
All right, 56 is your over-under for this one. Expecting some fireworks, I think, is the kind way to do it. Kansas City, 2.5 or 3, depending on where you're looking. There's no Amari Cooper. He's in COVID protocol for the Cowboys. Also going to miss Tyron Smith on that offensive line for the Chiefs. The return of Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I make note of it because, look, fantasy owners, you're going to get suckered into trying to play him. I think it's a fool's errand. I'm not going anywhere near that. Darrell Williams is still my guy. If you've seen how much more effective he has been. Chiefs winners of 3 straight, but they are still the third worst team in terms of turnover differential. 12 takeaways, 20 giveaways. Only Jacksonville and the New York Football Jets are worse. We saw Dallas rebound from that Denver game with a win over Atlanta. I don't know what it means, except congratulations on a job done, to steal from Seinfeld. Zeke, just 3 100-yard games on the season. Kansas City, you say, the defense has gotten better. Defense hasn't really played anybody. You saw the Giants. You saw the Jordan Love-led Packers. And then the Vegas Raiders, who are, well, it's the second half of the season, so we just assume they're not going to be any good. And we'll get to them in full later. But, I mean, what are the Chiefs at this point, Bucky?
You know, look, I think the Chiefs are a solid team. I think they're trending in the right way, and you want to see how they stack up against the Cowboys. I think this is a bigger game for the Cowboys, though. Even though we can talk about the Chiefs getting back on track, the Cowboys are trying to make a statement. If the Cowboys are truly Super Bowl champs, they should be able to go on the road and knock off the Chiefs. Because remember, no matter what we think, the Chiefs have been to the last 2 Super Bowls. They've been to 3 straight championship games. They are a team that is still viewed as the gold standard when it comes to contenders. The Cowboys can go on the road, particularly without Amari Cooper, and win this. Oh, then we got to make all the hype is real.
Well, and still trying to fight in what is a crowded top of the NFC, looking to see if they can get that lone bye in the playoffs, right, at 7-2.
It's huge.
That is potentially there. Kansas City's just that team that, as we've talked about the last couple of weeks, as people had all the jokes that they could and tried to grab on to any of the comedians from Kansas City, because there's a lot of them in television and film, to say, you know, take jokes and throw shade at them. The fact of the matter is you don't want them in the dance.
No.
Right? You had to try to get your knockout blows as you can, because if they get invited, they may just take it over.
Yeah, if they get into the party, you don't want to have to deal with them. And so that's why you want them dispatched very, very early. Because if it's a situation where you can knock them out, you want them knocked out. But I think two things can happen, and both can be true. I think the Kansas City Chiefs are rounding into form, and they're going to be one of the last teams that we talk about in the end. But I also think the Cowboys can knock them off. And so I think this could be a situation where the Cowboys win, but we still feel better about the Chiefs going forward because they look like they're still the cream of the division. And that's all they need. All they need to do is win the division. They get into the dance, and then once you get into the tournament, it all resets. And then it's about who can win three or four games in a row.
Dan Quinn and company, the defense, is where I'm looking at this, trying to control Patrick Mahomes, the explosive plays, and we get to see what Diggs truly is tested, trying to keep up with the cheetah all night long.
Oh, it's a problem. It's going to be a problem. It is a lot. It's going to be tough. It's going
to
be tough.
Teams, when they've gone at him, they've been able to get him.
The teams have been able to get him. They've been able to kind of find him. I'm not necessarily saying he's a Waldo-like, but he giveth and then he taketh away. It's just a matter of which one happens first. Does he give it up or does he take it away first, and how does it impact the game? But yes, Trevon Diggs is going to need to be on his game because Tyreek Hill and that crew, they certainly are dangerous.
All right, so what are you thinking? Dallas getting 2.5 on the road at Kansas City.
I think the Cowboys are real, so give me the Cowboys. I believe the Cowboys are going to find a way to get it done. This is a statement game. After this, the Cowboys going to road and do this, we're going to have to talk about them as the best team in the NFC.
I dig that. I'm going the other way. Why I like chaos and Kansas City winning. We'll have a lot. Look, while there's some folks I really don't want to hear it out of their mouth if they win the game, let's call it what it is, the other side is more fun. If the chaos theory happens, Dallas loses and KC's back in the mix, I'm looking for Mahomes to make some big plays against that secondary. Okay. Here's one I could read for 15 minutes. Injuries, Bucky. Next!
Ravens versus Bears.
Yeah, there we go. Bears with a very long list of guys expected to miss this one. Akeem Hicks is out. Khalil Mack was placed on injured reserve. They brought in Bruce Irvin. You want a good laugh? Go just read all the mentions after that signing was announced. Because it was before they'd made the move with Khalil Mack.
Yeah.
So you knew that was coming. So you tie those two together and say, Bruce Irvin.
Yeah.
You talk about Waldo.
Oh, he's been everywhere.
Yeah,
he's
exactly.
He's been everywhere. I can't say he's necessarily a linchpin to a top defense, but he's been everywhere. And so you don't have Khalil Mack. You lose Khalil Mack. You're sitting here in Chicago and you're trying to figure out how defensively they can get it done. But you're excited about the quarterback.
Well, but on the other side, right, and we'll get to the Justin Fields part in a moment, Lamar Jackson, 50-50, non-COVID. The fact that they have to put that big blinking letters just saying, hey,
he's sick,
but it's not COVID, because he's had COVID a couple of times already, so that comes up. Marquise Brown, not going to play. By far his leading target. You go through the numbers. He's got 82 targets on the year. Next leading target, man, is the tight end Andrews, and then it goes all the way down to 35 for Sammy Watkins. And we know what that running back situation is. They get Latavius Murray back here. He's been the leader in the clubhouse. He's got 212 yards on 59 carries to this point. But you're looking at the Ravens giving up 40 passes of at least 20 yards. The Bears have given up at 29 of at least 20 yards.
It's about big plays.
So can you stay up right in the pocket long enough to make the big play?
Yeah, I mean, that's the key for both of them. And I think, the Ravens are a different team if Lamar Jackson is available. I like Tyler Huntley, but it's a different deal because Lamar Jackson does so much of that stuff. You talk about the defense. Here's what happens. If Lamar Jackson doesn't play, I think the Ravens defensively, they dial up the pressure like you have never seen on the young quarterback because they know they got to produce turnovers and they have to give Huntley a short field. This is an interesting and compelling game. Coming out of this game, I know a lot more about Justin Fields and just where he is in his development. And I feel like he's trending the right way. But, man, the Ravens are going to challenge him. Because, remember, this is a team that absolutely throttled Justin Herbert. Be a good test. Good test.
Yeah, the Ravens, one of many teams as we go through the slate today, Bucky, going, I don't know what team they are at this point.
Mm-hmm.
We do know Rashad Bateman expected to go. The loss of Hollywood Brown, though, is huge. The Bears, you've actually seen Cole Kmet's name beyond a Twitter thread of why don't they throw him the ball. And Darnell Mooney's going to have to be huge. Why? Allen Robinson expected to miss this one. Hamstring injury. Damian Williams also out. Knee and calf. But they do have David Montgomery back to go alongside Herbert in the backfield. So bright spots. And for Justin Fields, starting to let him move outside the pocket.
Yeah, letting him move around. I mean, why not utilize all of his talents in those things? He is everything that I think we thought that he would be coming into the league. Very talented player. He's shown the mobility. He's shown the arm talent. Now it's about trying to find a way to unleash him within the confines of Matt Nagy's offense. They're doing a better job of that in recent weeks. I would like to see them put more layups in their package, like we've seen the Patriots kind of litter their offense with layups to give the young quarterback confidence. But I think it has to be exciting if you're a Bears fan to see this quarterback continue to blossom right in front of your eyes.
Yeah, as long as it's not those words you said, Matt Nagy's offense.
But it is. It's Matt Nagy's offense. He's the
guru. Keep him away from a microphone. And
he's the guru.
You use the word guru very liberally, my friend. All right. The Ravens are 5-point favorites in Chicago. Threat of rain. That's one of the things to look about on the landscape today. So if you're in your fantasy matchups, you're looking around. You've got a lot of rain potential. Right now, just overcast, but threats later on this afternoon.
Okay, so rain changes thing because then it makes it a ground and pound game. In the ground and pound game, it makes you lean towards the Baltimore Ravens with or without Lamar Jackson just because this is what they do. I'm going to go with the Ravens, but I expect this to be a nip and tuck affair, and maybe it comes down to Justin Tucker being able to knock down one of those patented long-range kits at the buzzer.
Yeah, that's kind of how I'm feeling. It's a Justin Tucker game, but I'll take the Bears plus the 5 for sure. Would not be surprised to win the game outright, especially with Lamar fighting to whatever,
Bears.
To wherever he's at. No, I'm not picking him to win. I'm not
Bears.
Necessarily.
The Bears.
Losers of 4 straight. I can go through all the negatives.
Okay.
I mean, I could have Chris play 35 quotes from Matt Nagy's press availability this week.
I feel like this is a classic hard over head right here. You pick him with your heart.
I just picked him to beat the spread. I didn't pick him to win the game.
But I felt like you did that because you're just kind of like covering your bases. But deep down inside, you want the Bears also.
Well, with no Hollywood Brown, where are the big plays coming from?
Right. So why just stand out there? Stand out there and just say it. I did it once with Patrick Mahomes.
No, I'm not hemming it on. If Matt Nagy's still in charge, if he was back in protocol and Bill Lazor was running the show, I'm with you. I got no confidence in the coaching regime there. Getting me all fired up, Bucky. Terrible. Holiday weekend and getting my blood pressure going early.
Come on.
All right. He's at Bucky Brooks. Find me over at Swollen Dome. Time to turn it over to Isaac Lowenkron. Find out what's trending in our sporting universe.
Frankly, I'm kind of disappointed that you're turning it over to me now. It looked like you hit a raw nerve right there, Bucky. And I was...
Well, he basically called me gutless, just said, hey, be a fan.
Greatly
entertained.
And I
said, no, I'm an analyst. I'm a realist.
Could you technically maybe merge the two and be a fanalist?
I like that. I've been hurt too many times, Ilo.
I know. Oh, man. I had to roll out a couch over there into that studio and charge you, $150 an hour. See if insurance will cover it. This is something we've struck here.
And then they turn to this other quarterback. No. All right, what's going on, Ilo?
Hey, you know what? Super Bowl 20. There you go. I'll make you feel better.
Yeah,
Super Bowl 20.
Great. Let's turn back to my youth.
Yeah.
Maybe that was the breaking point.
That was
as good as it got.
Was a little while ago, that's
1985.
Right. 1985. All right, well, speaking of teams in the NFC North, Tom Pelissero reporting this morning that Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron
Rodgers
will start today against the Minnesota Vikings despite a painful toe injury that limited him to only about 15 reps in practice on Friday. College football Saturday night, number 23 Utah hosted third-ranked Oregon. And at the end of the first half, Utah's Britton Covey opened up his punt return planner.
It's a bad punt off the side of the foot. Covey's going to take it at about the 22-yard line.
Boy.
Here he goes to the outside, Britton Covey. He's got the 30. He's got the 35. He's got the 40 up the sideline. 50, 45, 40. There he goes! 20, 10, 5. Touchdown! 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 Britton Covey, 78 yards!
At the end of the first half, Bill Riley, the call on Learfield as Utah won it over Oregon 38-7, ending the Ducks' college football playoff chances. In the NBA Saturday night, the world champion Milwaukee Bucks defeated the Orlando Magic 117-108. Giannis Antetokounmpo, 32 points, 20 rebounds. Finally in soccer, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is out as the manager of Manchester United. Mike and Bucky, back to you.
Thanks so much. You know what was great about hearing that special teams play?
What was great about that?
We could go out on YouTube and find when that used to happen in the NFL. I'm sorry. Was that cynical and cynical enough for you on a Sunday morning? There you go. All positivity radio here, Fox Sports Radio, Fox Football Sunday. We're going to get to this next game really quick. I just have one question to ask.
My 80, my touchy.
Dolphins versus Jets.
I thought he was going to skip it. Dolphins winners of two straight. 3.5-point favorites on the road at the New York Football Jets. 44.5 is your total. Actually, I have two questions about this game, and they're related. Number one, why? And I think you understand it. The parenthetical is Joe Flacco. Mm. The other is Robert Saleh over his skis?
Ooh. Ooh, those are two really good questions. I think one... Let's answer the second one first, because then that'll lead us to the answer to the first one. Yes, it appears that Robert Saleh is over his skis right now because they don't appear to have a direction. First, it was Zach Wilson, our franchise quarterback. We don't want to bring in a veteran because he has it. The only way to get better is by experience. Then Mike White has his experience.
He electrified.
Oh, so we feel like we give him the best chance, so we're going to let him do his thing. We keep Zach Wilson on the sideline. And now we're at the point where Joe Flacco is a better option because they brought, quote-unquote, Joe Flacco in for these moments. And what exactly are these moments? When you play an NFL defense that blitzes a lot, we want Joe Flacco to be the guy? Yeah, Robert Saleh's indecisiveness, his uncertainty, to me, is problematic because how can you develop a young quarterback when the head coach is all over the place? I don't know. I don't know what's up with the Jets, but I'm worried. And I'm worried about Joe Flacco and this offense being able to move the ball because the Miami Dolphins have uncovered something in that heavy blitz package where they're bringing everybody. I don't like this.
I think we're going to see Mike White early in this game because Joe Flacco sure as hell ain't getting away from that blitz.
Over under on Joe Flacco making it to the second quarter before he taps out.
Oh, he'll be gone.
Oh.
I think he'll be gone.
Wow.
I mean, otherwise he's yelling hot route and just throwing the ball at people's feet.
Look out!
I mean, that's really where we're at, right? Yeah. The cover zero. Because, I mean, part of the explanation folks are trying to make was, well, he's a veteran and he'll be able to do the blitz. Well, we watched, and all the numbers are there. I'm not going to read them all because that's boring. Suffice to say, he's about a 50% completion rate. Even last year in the matchup against the Dolphins was absolutely overwhelmed. So isn't this a spot where you'd learn more about your young quarterback by throwing him in against the defense that's throwing the kitchen sink as opposed to a guy who's just a placeholder cushion?
If you feel like the young quarterback has confidence, you're playing because you want him to experience it, because you can't run from this kind of stuff. He's going to see it and see it eventually, but if he's not wired the right way, this can certainly crush his confidence going forward. We'll see. We'll see what it does to Joe Flacco. Typically, pressure and hits change all quarterbacks. I don't care how long you played in the league, it's impactful. And so we'll see how these guys are able to survive and maybe even thrive against the pressure.
Miami minus 3.5.
I'm going to take Miami.
Yeah, I'll take Miami too. Again, Jets, league worst, minus 15 in the turnover differential. All right, we got some catching up to do, some long expository writing and talking to start the show with some of those big games right off the jump. But don't worry, there are some duds on the slate of week 11. They all count just the same, though, buddy. We celebrate all 272 on this program. He's Bucky Brooks. I'm Mike Harmon. This is Fox Football Sunday. Coming up next, the return of a starting quarterback against his old coach. One of the great storylines of the week plays out for us next here on Fox.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, it's Ben, host of the 5th Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is the 5th Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of the Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to the 5th Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Welcome back in. It's Fox Football Sunday. We're revved up. It's a week 11 in your National Football League. Obviously, a condensed week as well. We get all our games today, and then you get three on Thursday. We just talked about the Bears playing the Ravens. Yes, we're treated to Bears-Lions on Thanksgiving Day. We'll preview that later on, unless we won't. But let's get back into the games of today. There is one that stands out. Why? Because of a unhappy reunion? Let's talk about it.
Washington versus Panthers.
Locked and loaded. All right, so Panthers, Cam Newton, no surprise, he's starting. They paid him a bunch of money to try to bring this ship in and try to get towards the playoffs. Tepper doesn't waste any time or finance to do it. 3.5 is the line. The home Panthers are favored. 43 your number. Obviously, Christian McCaffrey being back does wonders for your offense, but they're still trying to figure out how to get DJ Moore involved. Six straight games without a touchdown. He's been under 75 receiving yards in each of those. Cam comes in last week, produces two touchdowns. Washington coming off the huge victory against Tampa. That was their Super Bowl because they lost Chase Young in the process. Montez Sweat out with the jaw surgery and everything going up front. But for Cam Newton against Ron Rivera, Rivera had the chance to bring him in, didn't in Washington, went through a number of options. And now Cam gets back home to Carolina, and lo and behold, his first start, the Washington football team.
Yeah, no, this would be interesting. I firmly believe Cam Newton is a different player due to his time at New England. I believe that we've already seen a different style of leadership that Cam is exhibiting in the return to Carolina. Now, that doesn't mean that he's going to play like Super Cam at his heyday when he was MVP in 2015, but this team needed a little energy, needed a little juice. Cam Newton gives them that. Now, it may only be a one-game deal because this Washington football team, this game against Washington is personal. Ron Rivera, Scott Turner had an opportunity to pick Cam up when he was on the streets. Never even really brought him in for a workout. Never showed any inkling of bringing him along. So imagine, Mike Harmon, you're an MVP for a coach who you might have been chiefly responsible for all the accolades that this coach has received, and he can't even bring you in for a workout, much less bring you in to maybe jumpstart a new program.
Bucky, he chose the neck beard over him.
He did. He did. He chose Fitzpatrick. He chose Kyle Allen. He chose Tyler Hankin. Guys,
well, but then he brought Kyle Allen from Carolina.
All these dudes who were your backups in Carolina are good enough to be a part of the program, but you're not. Oh, yeah, this is personal. Maybe for one game, maybe Cam can turn back the clock and show us some of that specialness because, man, deep down inside with all those emotions, you know he's going to bring his A game.
Cue the David Bowie. We can be heroes just for one day. I'll take Carolina minus the 3.5 at home. McCaffrey's presence, absolutely immense.
Oh, absolutely.
In what this offense
and
does.
Look, this stadium is going to be electric down at Bank of America Stadium. Cam is giving away 50 or so tickets to try and get people more into the game. So, yeah, this is – give me the Panthers. Give me the Panthers outright. They're going to get it done.
Pretty clean injury report for this one as well. So that works. All right, next.
My 80. My touch.
49ers versus Jaguars.
All right, Jaguars are going to get our man James Robinson back in the backfield. They are 2-7 on the season. San Francisco sitting at 4-5. Elijah Mitchell is out, so you'll have a hodgepodge of running backs. Good luck guessing which guy's going to have the lion's share of the carries. This one, San Francisco winners of two of their last three. Jimmy G doesn't have to be spectacular.
Mm-mm.
Just get the ball to Deebo Samuel, George Kittle, and let them make some plays. When we look at this one, Bucky, you know, you look at the Jaguars, and if they were any other team but the Jaguars, we'd probably pay more attention to what Trevor Lawrence hasn't done this year like we've done all the other rookie quarterbacks, but it's kind of a throw your hands up for the rookie year that it is. The 49ers, despite all their warts, 6.5-point favorites on the road, 45.5 year total.
So here's the thing. The Jacksonville Jaguars might be catching the 49ers at the right time. Short week coming off an emotional win, have to travel from west to east and play an early game. All of those things certainly aren't in the Niners' favor. The issue, I don't know if the Jaguars are talented enough to slow down the Niners when the Niners play the way that they played on Monday night with the running game. This would be a huge test. I'm going to go with the Niners on the road just because I believe the Niners know that they're back their backs are against the wall. If they drop one to the Jaguars, all the goodwill that was built up by that Monday night win goes out the door. I think Kyle Shanahan finds a way to get his team focused. I'm going to pick them to go on the road and get a big win.
Figure out how to play bully ball one more time. It is a good spot for Urban Meyer, certainly. As you say, the emotional letdown, perhaps. But getting back to 500, now you start to chip and think maybe you can get to the back end of that, tournament.
And if you're the Niners, all you're doing is think about getting into the tournament. You get into the tournament, you have a chance. The running game, the complexity with all the misdirection motion that they do, it gives them a chance versus everybody. And I think that is enough motivation for them. Hey, we can get to 500. We have a chance to make a run down the stretch.
All right, we got a lot of games to get to. We're a little behind on the down and distance, but let's just stay in with this game instead of giving the next the short shrift, because there's some good talking points out of New Orleans, Philadelphia. We'll get to that coming up in about 10 minutes. Kyle Shanahan. What do we feel about Kyle Shanahan as a coach? Because it started to burn a little bit a couple of weeks ago, right?
Nepotism
and all those words starting to get thrown up.
For someone who we love and celebrate as an offensive guru, there were some critiques that were beginning to come out about, hey, we love this guy, but look at his record. His record certainly isn't up to snuff as a great coach. But I think he's good at what he does. I think he could stretch out his zoom a little more macro-oriented, make sure that the defense and all that stuff is running together. And then, to me, I think it's keep it simple. Don't try and feel like you got to out-scheme everybody. When you have a run game and all the weapons that they have, just kind of figure out a way to get it done.
Yeah, I think part of it, you've got Ayuk, you've got Debo, and you've got Kittle. You got three guys that can make plays. Don't forget Juszczyk.
You
know, we always love the fullback coming out and making some plays as a runner and receiver. So opportunity there. But certainly the curiosity when it starts to go wrong. What I would want is an investigation of the training facility, right? Like them and the Chargers, we always ask, why do they have more injuries than everybody else? New Orleans, Philadelphia, next here on Fox.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Oh, we're going in the Wayback Machine, talking vintage football, football video games. And sometimes meeting your heroes, the good, the bad, the ugly, that all goes in. Come on in, have a seat, grab a cup of coffee, and hang with us. We're going through the games of Week 11 in earnest. Mike Harmon alongside Bucky Brooks. You find him at Bucky Brooks. Find the content all over the place. You're talking Amazon on Thursday nights. You're talking Fox Sports Digital here, Fox Sports Radio. You see him on FS1 paying a visit, taking the scout and the 5 years in the NFL perspective and adding that all up into a big algorithm of oral goodness to get you ready for each game. How's that?
Yeah.
Is that a good sell job?
That's a very good sell job. I love that.
Get in there and sell. No, we've got some great games on the horizon today. We've gone through a couple of the big ones already. Back half of the season, right? It's now all those games you've got on tape. So in theory, you know the identities, but you also, as we just talked about with San Francisco and Jacksonville, the last game we went through, Bucky, you've seen where teams can jump up and sting you if you don't come to play your games, right? Jacksonville beating Buffalo is something that every team that plays the Jaguars is going to be like, they beat them.
Yeah.
Right? They're your league leader in turnover differential, and the point differential between what they score and what they give up is astronomical. They still went out on a Sunday and beat them. Let's not be those guys.
Yeah.
Let's not be those Bills is, I guess, the mantra going forward.
Yeah, no, I think that's the thing. I think it has to be, everyone has to understand, any given Sunday, if you don't show up with your A game, you can get knocked off. And we've seen numerous examples this year. And I think now more than ever, the parity in the league makes it where if you don't play well, it's hard for you to win just on talent alone. You got to make sure that you take care of the little things. You can't turn the ball over, can't have a ton of penalties, and you can't allow big plays. You got to find a way to generate big plays. Those things happen, you win games. And so each and every week, we'll see. We'll see if these guys can hold up.
That's just it, right? Now it's also the war of attrition, as we'll get into some big names missing in action this week as well. So and then some of the chess matches being played because of the early start to week 12 and teams that are on the playoff periphery trying to make sure that they're also looking at the long game and not, you know, hurting themselves long term by maybe being foolhardy and doing something rash. Arizona's the team that comes to mind most as they try to figure out, do they push Kyler Murray back on the field or not?
Mm-hmm.
And that's Colt McCoy most likely gets the third start is what we've been reporting. Obviously, they've got a week 12 bye, and they're not playing just to finish out the string, right? They are playing for big stakes at this point. They went all in. Obviously, J.J. Watt is out. But the idea being that there's different ways you have to approach this back half of the season if you're in contention.
Yeah, you got to approach it differently. And I think for the Cardinals, you think long range, long-term vision. What do we want to look like at the end of the year? Yes, we can sit here and we can play them and we can win, but will that hurt us where we have injuries that we're having to deal with throughout the end? The smart play is even if you take a step back, it will enable you to take two steps forward down the end. And so the smart play is, hey, let's just see if we can get through this one without him. We have the bye week coming up, and then when we come back, man, we trot out a whole new team. Because ultimately, you want to be playing your best ball down the stretch. You just got to survive in the middle of the season.
I guess the question then falls out of it is, how important is home field advantage, right? You only have one team getting the bye week in the playoffs. I mean, how much of it is important to go at that with everything you've got?
Yeah, it's very important. It's very important that you can secure the number one seed. What you have to do if you're looking at the landscape, if I'm the Cardinals and what I'm doing, I'm looking around, okay, who the Packers playing? They playing the Vikings. They may win. Okay, who the Cowboys playing? The Chiefs. So that might put them back. Okay, well, the Packers, when we can control some of that against them, we may lose the tiebreaker because of A.J. Green's blown assignment, but that's fine. We'll see where we're at. We may not be able to get there. So let's just step back. Let's make sure we get our quarterback back, because we feel like we can beat anybody when we have our quarterback healthy and playing well. I just think you have to put the long-term interest of the team. Yet you got to make sure that's the priority over everything else.
I did really enjoy that you just brought in the social media aspect of they knew the assignment right there and applied it to A.J. Green. All right, let's get back into the games of Week 11. This one's interesting to me.
Saints versus Eagles.
And maybe I'm the only one. Saints at 5-4, Philly at 4-6. They've yet to win a game at home. They're 0-4 at home. They are 3-point favorites at home, 42, the over-under. Miles Sanders returns. Go figure. Hey, Nick Sirianni, actually in the last couple of weeks, Buggy, realized that outside of Jalen Hurts' scrambles, they do allow you to run the football in this National Football League. I think he watched too much of NFL Network, Fox, and ESPN, everybody else. Like, yeah, we like that guys can wing it around, but running the football is still allowed. It has not been outlawed just yet. So over the last couple of weeks, we've seen them run the football very effectively. Jordan Howard signed off the street, practice squad, hey, come on up and run. New Orleans, no Alvin Kamara. Again, the chess match. They've got a game Thursday. So you've got to try to figure out how to best leverage that. Mark Ingram will be your leader for Trevor Siemian once again. With Jalen Hurts, the jury's still out on what he is long-term, I think. There's some playmaking ability, but does he have the guys around him, or is it on him? Six games with fewer than 200 passing yards this year, including three straight, but he's got eight games where he's rushed for over 40 yards, so helping to change the, field down and distance there as well. But the fact that it actually turned to the run game a little bit more important. But how does he navigate that New Orleans defense?
No, look, here's the thing about the Philadelphia Eagles. Three straight games where they've had over 175 rushing yards. They are really becoming one of the more dominant teams when it comes to being able to run the football. And when you run the football, it does a couple of different things. One, it gives you an identity. Two, it gives you a level of toughness, because to run the ball, you got to be willing to punch people in the mouth. And then finally, it allows you to control the tempo of the game, alleviate some of the pressure on your defense. Since the Eagles have kind of turned to this formula, they've been a more difficult team to defend. And so I'm going to say that Jalen Hurts is perfect for what they want to do. I'm not saying he's Lamar Jackson, but he gives them that Lamar Jackson type centerpiece in the middle of this, I guess, modified single wing offense that they're running. I like it. And I think it can be effective against the Saints, because the more pressure you can put on the Saints to have to chase points with Trevor Siemian and or Taysom Hill, the better. I like the Eagles in this. I think the Eagles found a way to get it done.
Grind the football. I really thought you were going to throw the Rocky quote for the New Orleans defense. How hard you can get hit get back up and keep moving forward, because that's how winning is done. See what I did there?
That is how.
Nicely done. But yeah, I mean, we look at the passing game for New Orleans. I mean, Callaway's at 350 yards. He's essentially your leader with no Michael Thomas. Troutman's their third leading receiver. He's got 32 targets on the year, Bucky.
Yeah.
Not exactly a prolific offense, even when Jameis was there, right? He had that 5-touchdown game to start the season. That's really it when it comes to fireworks. And Trevor beat, you know, was able to clean up, and they beat Tampa Bay. I like their attitude, but I don't know that there's enough playmakers. And if Philly can inflict their will, 1.5 is the point total in some books, perhaps all the way out to 3. So I'm going to take Philly to win the game at home.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Fly, Eagles, fly.
Get them to 5-6, and, well, chaos ensues, as it were. All right, next, this one's a short one.
Texans versus Titans.
Yay, the Texans are back on the field. Do I need to say any more?
No. Jeff Driskel is moving to tight end.
Yeah, I saw that. That might be the best headline they've had all year.
Yeah.
Former quarterback. Hey, you want to move? You want to play in this league? Yeah, move on. 10.5 is the line at home. Obviously, Tennessee cruising right now, beating playoff teams from last year left and right. Winners of 6 in a row. Still, that loss to the Jets is like the Buffalo loss to Jacksonville, going, how? Why? How does this happen? But Houston, 1-8, may just go down the line. The current leading rusher with Mark Ingram gone, Phillip Lindsay averaging 2.7 yards per carry. I'd really hope that Brandon Cooks would get himself traded so he can go play some meaningful football, but ride out the string.
Ride out the string. This is a tough one. Tennessee Titans take care of business. Texas may give a better effort than we think, because we see it every week. Someone rises up, but the Titans are too mature to allow the Texans to kind of sneak this one.
So what you're saying is you like that hook on the back end that maybe Houston hangs around?
They hang around.
Enough for that one?
Yeah, enough to make it competitive, maybe.
I'll say it's a 2-touchdown game. All right, let's get to another one of the marquee games.
Colts versus Bills.
All right, now here we go. It's one of the great games on the schedule today. The Bills giving 7 as we sit here early Sunday morning. 49.5 is your total. Bills still can't necessarily run the football very well. Doesn't matter. Explosive plays and a defense that's very stingy. Fewer than 15 points per game allowed. League best in turnover differential. Colts right behind them. Why? Carson Wentz taking care of the football and the run game. It really comes down to this. Can the Bills' defensive front slow down Jonathan Taylor and that offensive line?
Man, it's tough. It's tough. These teams play squared up in the playoffs, and I feel like the Colts felt like they left some meat on the bowl in that game. There's a ton of confidence. Jonathan Taylor may be the best running back in football. When you can run the ball, it gives you a chance. It comes down to Carson Wentz and which Carson Wentz is going to show up. We have seen him. There are times where he melts under pressure. He melts under the heat lamp. We'll see a left-handed throw. But today might be the day. Today's day. I'm going to go with the Indianapolis Colts on the road.
Look at you.
I'm going to go with the Indianapolis Colts on the road because I feel like Frank Wright has a way. He just finds a way to get it done in his old stadium. He finds a way to kind of throw out a vintage performance. They find a way to win.
Over under on how early in the game they show Frank Wright and his comeback.
Second quarter.
Okay, so second quarter, which means the Bills have already dominated Carson Wentz, so now they're making the comparison that Wentz has to channel some of his old coach. Bills in a route, Bills Mafia flying through tables in the second quarter for me. Jonathan Taylor, this is one. We did the I Want Your Flex podcast, Dan Beyer and I. You can find that, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, SoundCloud, wherever you get your audio. It's like Jonathan Taylor's a guy that this week, I mean, obviously you're playing him. He's going to have a heavy workload, but he looks like a mortal. For one day. Now, obviously, I could read through all the Titans injuries, and I'll show you this page, Bucky. How many names you think are on that list of out? 1, 2, 3, 4, Ooh. 7, 9, like 9 guys. And questionable with the chest injury is Jackrabbit Jenkins. All right, I just wanted to get his name in. I will take the Bills to take care of business. As we continue here on Fox Sports Radio, coming up, we'll get to Tom Brady and the Buccaneers trying to stop the 2-game slide Antonio Brown. We'll get Bucky's opinion on that story that ruled the day for a bit. And then Steelers-Chargers next on our horizons. It's Fox Football Sunday here on Fox Sports Radio. Thanks for being part of the family. Set an extra place at the table because I'm ready to gluttonize this holiday week. Let's go.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Welcome back in. It's Fox Football Sunday. Mike Harmon alongside Bucky Brooks. Having fun with you going through the games of Week 11. That's right. Set those fantasy lineups. Get those waiver claims in. Work a little earlier before kickoffs today, right? Start thinking about Week 12 because you got three games on Thursday. And let's face it, once you're in a tryptophan-induced coma, all bets are off. So do the work early. Plan the work, work the plan. At Bucky Brooks, you find him on Twitter. Find me over at Swollen Dome. Let's get back to our games as we look at Tom Brady. Losers of two in a row and everybody hitting the panic button.
Giants versus Bucks.
And then the schedule maker said, let there be the Giants. That's really, I mean, should be something that cures your ills as you go through, Bucky. We look at the Buccaneers, 11-point favorites at home, 49.5 the total. Antonio Brown, why does the man pay his bills? That's not football. I mean, it's football related because he's not playing. He's still hurt. But now you might have an investigation potential for fake vax cards and this whole thing, and now the league as a whole has to start wringing their hands.
Just always something. Like, the league is just hoping that it will go away. Just will it go away so you don't have to deal with it. Yeah, man, AB and this stuff is just, I don't know. It's just weird. It's just such a weird deal.
Let's get just back to the football side of it. With him off the field, Godwin and Evans, I mean, and trying to figure out who else.
Yeah, they're still obviously talented enough or whatever. But what they miss from AB is just like that dynamic playmaker as the third wide receiver. And so when you have the third wide receiver being a Hall of Fame caliber player in AB, you always have an advantage in terms of matchups and those things. Tom Brady really feels comfortable with AB, and without Gronk, without AB, it just kind of makes him a little bit out of his comfort zone. And so we're just kind of see what this looks like. I expect them to play well without him, but at some point they need him back because he's kind of like that X factor that allows them to go from good to great when it comes offensively.
Gotten away from things offensively, again, down distance and game situation. Leonard Fournette, such a big part of the early success of the season. Last couple of games, 8 for 26, 11 for 47. And so you haven't been able to get him running downhill, which obviously changes things on the back end as well. For the Giants, you're looking at their running game. Saquon Barkley, limited participant in practice, ankle injury. Devontae Booker with the hip. We'll see what they are, if they're able to go later on today. And potential for success, Vita Vea isn't there with the knee injury, right? I mean, that looms large on the defensive side of things. But otherwise, you got a pretty clean bill. You mentioned Gronkowski being out for the Giants. A couple of injuries in their back seven. Ryan, Ebner, and Carter do rise up. You said 11-point spread, 49.5 your total.
It's tough, man. You know, the Fighting Joe Judges, they are a very interesting
See,
collection.
There's the first one of the day. Came a little later than I thought.
Yeah,
the
Joe Judges, they get after it. They played them tough. I think because they played them so tough last year, they get the full attention of the Bucks this year, and they take a beat down. The Bucks get back on track.
I concur. Let's the beat down commence, and then all that Tom Brady is done talk goes away at least for a week.
Oh, yeah.
Right? It's that pendulum of, hey, they've lost two in a row. Get those Tom Brady takes out.
Oh, it goes back and forth.
Yeah, exactly. Next.
Steelers versus Chargers.
Roethlisberger cleared. They flew him out yesterday, so you will not be subjected to Mason Rudolph in prime time. 47 is the total. Chargers, 6-point favorite. A lot of injuries on the Pittsburgh defensive side of things. Bucky, no Joe Hayden. TJ Watt still out. The two huge losses right there. Minka Fitzpatrick is banged up. So, opportunity, and we've seen from the Chargers, Mike Williams was fantastic for a month. He's disappeared. He's got the Harry Potter invisibility cloak walking around because even Justin Herbert can't see him.
Yeah.
There you go. Nerd reference.
Yeah. By all accounts, you normally would count the Pittsburgh Steelers out in this situation, right? They got too many injuries. They just played poorly against the Detroit Lions. How would they be able to go and knock off a Chargers team on the road? Here's the thing. Whenever you count the Steelers out, they kind of find a way to rise up. This is one where I feel like they play a classic Steelers game. They make it ugly. They find a way to win it at the end. And then on Monday, we're going to talk about how did the Steelers do it, because this is a game that the Chargers should win, but somehow they don't win. Give me the Steelers.
Steelers getting 6-5-3-1. You mentioned that game against Detroit. We'll get back into that as we preview Detroit's matchup a little bit later on. Chargers at 5-4. Again, with Justin Herbert, you've seen him take some of those sophomore regression to a degree, trying to find some big plays in that offense, and certainly defensively, they've been banged up a little bit. I think it's a lot of Najee Harris.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Roethlisberger doesn't have to wing it around, and when he does, we don't want to watch it. I mean, we've seen it. I mean, go back to that Bears game. The couple of throws that he did complete were terrible.
I mean,
that was Peyton Manning at the very end he walked off.
Yeah, he's very limited in terms of what they did. They need to be able to run the football. They need to be able to get it on their terms. Najee Harris, magic number is 25. Needs to have more than 25 touches. Combination of runs and throws. They do that, then Pittsburgh is playing the way they want to play.
Steelers on the road. Give me Mike Tomlin to get a victory, even if he continues to defend the idiotic taunting rule. He's Bucky Brooks. I'm Mike Harmon. This is Fox Football Sunday. I'm going to editorialize the hell out of that one because it's the worst rule going, especially if they're going to keep calling it.
It's about the kids, though.
Yeah, it's all about the kids. Now you're going to feed me Matt Nagy lines to try to drive me nuts. I appreciate you. It was very mean of you to do that right here. All right, next game, we alluded to it earlier, still some principles out.
Cardinals versus Seahawks.
Boom. All right, Cardinals. Colt McCoy going to be in line again. No DeAndre Hopkins. And, look, Kyler Murray, it's not definitive, but let's call it what it is. He ain't going to play.
No, he's not going to play.
They have a bye week next week, so he's out. The larger question, I think, because we like that squad still. They've got some injuries. Buda Baker's banged up. But overall, you're still looking at a squad that you have belief. As a whole, they get Kyler Murray right. Christian Kirk, all of those weapons, Edmonds, and he's banged up. He won't play today. But between him and James Conner down the stretch, if they're ready to go, you've got enough balance in the offense in the NFC to be a contender. The other is in Seattle. 3-6, shut out by the Packers last week, 17-0. Russell Wilson, the question of whether he returned too early from the injury. What is, like, because you're all over the place, right? People guessing how severe is an injury and how it affects the grip and delivery of the football. Is it just an injury? Hey, get out there, numb it up, and do what you got to do. Like, I heard everything from former players and broadcasters all week. Hey, Bucky, give me your best guess as to what he went out there with from a percentage basis last week.
I would say, man, maybe about 60-70%. Very, very limited in terms of how he wanted to play the game. Here's the thing. They didn't score a shutout first time in his NFL career. So this is a huge game for the Seahawks in terms of just trying to get back on track. Can they get back on track when Russell Wilson may not be at his best? He has some limitations because of the finger. I don't know, man. Like, I worry about the Seattle Seahawks team in general.
Well, that's the thing, right? The offense wasn't prolific to start things. You've got two playmakers. Carson goes to the injured reserve now. So any semblance of running game that you'd hope to have, because they keep putting duct tape on that.
Yeah.
And right? And they haven't done anything on the offseason to address that at all.
That's the big thing, the running game. The lack of running game. As much as we want Russ to cook, they need to have enough balance to be able to allow him to cook the way he needs to. And so it's just one of those situations that's tough for the Seattle Seahawks. I think they play a really, really good game because they're in front of the home fans. But I just think the Cardinals are a better team. It's a better team, and I think the better team wins.
Colt McCoy getting it done. I picked it on Friday. I have really no thrust towards it. Just feels like with Colt McCoy – and the ship going there, even though they got some injuries in the back seven and are not very good, Seattle's defense. Still, from a scoring perspective, you know, they're ninth best. I don't know what that means on a grand scale, but when we look at Arizona, perhaps you can make one play with DK Metcalf as long as he doesn't get himself thrown out of the game again. Try to get himself back in. I like chaos like that, unless I don't. But either way, I'm going to take Seattle to win at home in front of the home fans. We got three games left to go, Bucky. A big one that we've alluded to earlier in the show. We'll get Chris Perfett's view on the fun and excitement that is the Detroit Lions. And then we've got an NFC North battle to finish it all off. But first, let's kick it over to Isaac Lowenkron to give us the updates of what's trending.
Hope I'm not guilty of over-exaggerating, over-hyping, but yeah. Coming up at the end here, we're going to have one of the greatest highlights we've ever played on these airwaves. I hope I'm not over-hyping it, so we'll just wait and see on that. First, we begin in the NFL, though. Tom Pelissero of NFL Media Reporting, the Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron
Rodgers
will start today against the Minnesota Vikings despite a painful toe injury that limited him to only about 15 reps in practice on Friday. In college football on Saturday night, number 23 Utah played host to third-ranked Oregon. What a night for the Utes, particularly at the end of the first half. This is not the highlight I'm referring to, but it's still pretty good.
Here he goes to the outside, Britton Covey. He's got the 30. He's got the 35. He's got the 40 up the sideline. 50, 45, 40. There he goes! 20, 10, 5, touchdown! Britt Covey, 78 yards!
Bill Riley, the call on Learfield. Utah won it 38-7, ending Oregon's college football playoff hopes. In soccer, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is out as the manager of Manchester United. Finally, here we go. In the NBA Saturday night, the Utah Jazz won at Sacramento 123-105 in a game that included an, how can I put this delicately, unique delay. Here were David Locke and Ron Boone on KSL.
Some guy is so drunk, maybe.
Yeah, oh, boy, he is.
Oh, no, and he just threw up all over himself, and he has, oh, no.
It's all over him. Isn't it?
Oh, my gosh. That is the, oh, that is so horrendous. Literally a guy in the front row of the arena tonight just was too inebriated. Oh, no. He's literally sold a Buick.
I would not want to clean that up.
Oh, no. This is horrendous. We are currently delayed because Ralph showed up in the front row.
There you have it. Now, let's unpack.
Can you save that for me as well for when Ralph Irvin's next with us on during the week?
Oh, Jason the possibilities are endless. Because here's the thing. Here's what I wanted to ask you guys. So Ralphing is a well-known term for what that unfortunate fan just did. But I had never heard the term sold a Buick. That's a new one.
Yeah,
so
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know that one. That's a new one.
Well, on that note, back to you.
It's pretty good. I guess the only one that, I mean, I like the honesty of the moment, right? They took it in stride. I think the only guy that could have done it better is with, he's got a lot of practice at crazy moments, Kevin Harlan. No, nobody does a fan on the field.
No.
That guy's drunk.
Oh,
he's shirtless and he's going, you know, going insane. Obviously not screaming like Kevin Harlan in the moment. And then, you know, his tag team partner, you just hear him laughing in the background. But no, that's really good. I missed
really
that one. That's a good addition to the show.
Yeah.
Ilo, you did not oversell that.
Yeah. That's done.
At Isaac Lowenkron, where you find him on Twitter. Find me over at Swollen Dome. Bucky at Bucky Brooks for all the goodness. We got three games left of our Week 11 run through here in the National Football League, and then we'll close it off with some Thanksgiving notes and others as we finish out the hour. And then obviously, if you have any sit start questions for your fantasy squads, get them in. Get them in before I try to fight LAX. Maybe I'll chronicle that live. Although I don't know that I can legally in certain places as you get through the airport, but we're going to give it the old college try. Let's get back into the games.
Bengals versus Raiders.
All right, let's get it on. The Raiders trying to avoid that second half slide that was, well, the hallmark of the John Gruden, Derek Carr era. They are looking at a difficult proposition here, the Bengals, because we're trying to figure out who they are as well. Raiders, 1.5-point home dogs. 50.5 is your total in this one. Injury report fairly short for this. The Raiders, Kwiatkowski, Nixon, and Ingold are out for the Bengals. A couple of questionables, but otherwise coming full to bear. We saw the Bengals, right, world beating 1 week and then collapse. Don't know what they are. For the Raiders, Josh Jacobs did practice, but I would expect you see a lot of Kenyon Drake alongside him. And then Yannick Ngakoue, depending on who's pronouncing it. The Ngakoue is always consistent. His first name sometimes drifts on folks. But either way, he's got a back injury, but did practice. But keep an eye on that as you flow. I've heard a lot of folks wondering about holding calls, not holding calls. Look, officiating this year, we all stipulate, has been bad. You have to play through it and just not give them a reason to throw them. And certainly for the Raiders, 5-4, 3-2 at home, 26th in total D. Cincinnati, the back-to-back losses, the Jets, and then that embarrassing effort against the resolute Baker Mayfield.
I mean,
and now here we are in week 11.
This is a tough one because, I mean, neither team has momentum. The Raiders have looked bad the last two times they've run out on the field. The Bengals have, they played well early, but then once the world found out and started celebrating them, they kind of took a step back. This is a Bengals game, though. The Bengals have more talent. They have more guys that can give you problems, particularly on the offense. Jamar Chase, Tyler Boyd, Joe Mixon. When Joe Burrow is in his rhythm, this is a tough offense, and that offense is just enough to give them the edge. Tough, competitive game in Vegas. Boy, give me the Bengals.
I got to think that defense that we were looking at early in the season during the bye week, they got reintroduced to tape going, what did you guys do for the first 7 weeks that suddenly you stopped?
Yeah.
Because they went out and got beat up. Like, it wasn't just they lost. I mean, the game against the Jets, it was like watching these fight movies, and they took that first blow and never recovered. And like, all right, game's over. And then certainly Cleveland punched them in the mouth. Obviously, they run the football well, but Baker Mayfield made a couple of big throws to take them down. I got to think the defense, with all of the chirping that's been done against Derek Carr, that maybe they try to grab some of that momentum and get him off his game early. And I don't know how much this offense – Hunter Renfro's been fine, but – Henry Ruggs, and we talk about that horrible situation off the field, but him off the field really changes what they can do offensively.
It does change everything because they don't have the ability to stretch the field. They brought DeSean Jackson in, but he's not what Henry Ruggs was to them in terms of just a big play.
Jackson.
Yeah.
Come on.
I said he was. He's not the same.
That's my on-air critique of trying to fill that void.
He had a big fumble a week ago, so they don't have the stretch of building. So now they're back to playing half-court basketball, can't push the ball down the field, and so it's an issue, huge issue.
Holding the ball and taking hits. I'll take the Bengals. I think you're on the same side.
Yeah, I'm there.
Bengals. All right, we got two games left. I mean, I guess this next one we can kind of do quickly, but I want to get Chris Perfett. We'll get Chris Perfett's notes on it now. So let's do it, and then we'll finish it off.
Lions versus Browns.
All right, our guy, Browns, 11.5-point favorites over Tim Boyle and your Detroit Lions, 43.5. You're over under. Jared Goff now out with the oblique. You got a tie.
Tie is good.
I mean, it's a start in the right direction, yes.
People get mad at ties. I'm fine with ties. I watch enough soccer.
That's true.
Not every tie is the same. And if they had their starting kicker that game, they'd probably win that game. Said it comes down to Ryan Santoso, who converted about a year ago from a punter to a kicker, who kind of muffed it pretty bad, and now he's no longer with the Lions. Tim Boyle's college stats are not great. 3 seasons at UConn, 1 touchdown, 13 interceptions, minus 122 career rushing yards. Then drops down to FCS Eastern Kentucky. And 11 touchdowns, improvement, 13 interceptions, stays the same. Actually got 3 years' worth in one. And 6.5 yards per attempt. Obviously not ideal. I know a lot of Lions fans have been eager to get past the Jared Goff experiment already, but you got Boyle for today, you got Boyle for Thanksgiving. And on the flip side of it, Lions are going to be without Trey Flowers. It's a pretty bad rushing defense that they have to deal with, and the Cleveland Browns have Nick Chubb.
Nick Chubb does return to action.
How is Tim Boyle in the league?
Well, that's a whole other question.
He was squirreled away on a Packers depth chart for a while.
How is he in the league with those stats? How do you make a team?
He looked good on tape.
People keep looking at his arm and thinking they can develop something out of it. Yeah.
And he's going to start?
Twice.
Where's my man David Blau at? He hurt?
What about David
Fales?
He's
on there. They have not gone to David Blau. They have skipped over him completely. It's
Tim Boyle?
Kind of a mystery.
Oh, jeez. Gosh.
Is this the Joe Flacco situation? You go out and get beat up?
I guess he's the pin.
I don't know.
Maybe he's the pin cushion. Maybe he's the pin cushion for the week.
All right. Can they beat the 11.5-point spread, Chris?
Never say never where the fighting Campbells are involved.
But, all right. So yeah.
There you go. He invoked the fighting Campbells.
Look, I like the fighting Campbells. And look, Dan Campbell took over play calling a week ago. They ran the football successfully. Maybe this is what they can do. I think it's a huge game for Baker Mayfield and the Browns. Baker Mayfield's still hanging on. He's trying to play despite all the injuries so he can get his contract extension. That I don't know. I don't know if that's coming, the big one that he wants.
I think he's going to get franchised.
Oh, we're going to stretch him out. They should look across the field and look at what happened to Jerry Goff and the Rams and know that if they do that, if they give Baker Mayfield that big deal, it's the same thing coming for them. They got to string him out.
Play defense, run the football. When you've asked Baker to do things, really hasn't been able to in those games.
Think about how we celebrate.
Jarvis Landry's calling him out for not getting the ball to him, and he doesn't run any route beyond 12 yards.
No, there's a lot of frustration in the building. He only throws to running backs and tight ends. So, fantasy tip, get any Browns running back and tight end because that's who catches the ball.
A lot of Nick Chubb and Ernest Johnson today would be my guess.
A lot. Heavy dose. So, look, I'm going to go with the Browns to win. I'm looking for the entertainment from the Lions. Tim Boyle, oof.
But that's the thing, right? 10.5, 11.5, and you're just like, I can't even go there. Like, it's a big number.
Huge.
And you love how the fighting Campbell, see, we keep using that.
They do fight, man. They're just so fighting.
They do come to play.
He said it, though. I should have saved my Joe, the Fighting Joe Judges, because at least Dan Campbell said they were going to bite kneecaps and eat toes and fingers and all that other stuff at his initial press conference.
They might have to be
spirit
in this
is
game.
Willing, but the body is getting pretty bad at this point.
I wouldn't be surprised if he went over and kicked Nick Chubb's ankle to see if he could slow him down, you know?
Now that's coaching. I mean, that's better than Mike Tomlin hanging out on kick returns, I guess.
I mean, just kick his ankle and see if you can slow him down.
Hey, Nick, how you feeling over there?
It's been a rough week with the Falcons, and I'm done with the season. I think they're lucky if they're gonna do anything this year.
Already, they won four games.
Yeah, but I mean,
that has to be more than you can expect, right?
Yeah, but I mean, a lot of those games came down to field goals, and I mean,
they all count.
Yeah, but that defense, Bucky, is so bad.
I mean, it's pretty terrible.
It's terrible when you're bringing out a beaten up Matt Ryan against. It has to say, okay, I'll go out there and throw touchdowns. Okay, I'll do that. Can I get some defensive help? No, you can't get that. He hasn't had that his whole career, so I'm just. Yeah,
well, we did get to see Josh Rosen throw a pass.
Oh yeah,
there you go. There's another Thursday rewind. See, I was trying to spare you the pain. That's why I didn't bring you in when we started the show with the Thursday rewind because. Psychologically, that game, you just want to flush it, right? That's one of those games you never want to see the game film on again.
That's a turn of phrase that's been used a lot this year, I've noticed.
Well, no, that is true. That is true. It is a
Jalen
sports
Hurts,
cliche.
Up a couple weeks ago. It's been around.
Yeah, there's no question about it.
Burn the tape.
Burn it.
Bury the ball. I think that's what they do sometimes. They go to the facility.
Yeah,
and
Lions buried the tape, I think, after the Eagles.
Yeah,
that's right.
You take the ball, you just dump it in the grass somewhere and pour a little dirt on it. Start over.
Okay.
I mean, it's only so many graveyards, so many plots that we can put in the back of the facility.
For the Lions, man. I watch a lot of crime films. We're finding stuff everywhere. The dogs are going insane. That would be the Lions.
We're going to have plots all over 8 Mile, like just everywhere.
insanity. He's Bucky Brooks. I'm Mike Garmin. You heard the voices of Nick Battaglia and, of course, Chris Perfett doing his Lions analysis at Chris Perfett and Pride of Detroit. Coming up next, we get to that final battle of Week 11 in the NFC North. Some great stats that Nick uncovered, and we'll see if they can hold true one more time. That's next here on Fox.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Welcome back in Fox Sports Radio, Fox Sports Sunday. Mike Harmon, Bucky Brooks with you. Hey, real credit card questions require real people, someone who understands your issues and works to resolve them with you. That's why Discover offers helpful U.S.-based representatives available 24/7. Discover, exceptionally common sense. At Swollen Dome on Twitter, find Bucky at Bucky Brooks. Thanks to the crew making it sound so good today and chiming in. The highlights from Ilo at Isaac Lohenkron getting ready for another Chargers game. They've got the Steelers later on, one that got to be interested to see, you know, what the Chargers are at this point because you'd expected such growth. The Rams are off this week, so we don't get to see how they respond to getting punched in the face a couple of times here in recent memory. But only two teams on bye, the Denver Broncos and the Rams. Well, we'll preview the Vikings and Packers in just a second. Teddy Bridgewater and the business decision. I had no problem with it. I think it's the right move. Why was there such an outrage?
Well, that's an outrage because we fancy ourselves as ones who want everyone to give everything that they have, play hard, go after everything. It means the most. But then we get mad when guys go down. We saw a couple years ago when, God, was it Cincinnati Bengals? Andy Dalton broke his thumb.
Yeah.
It was a good team. Good team that was trending the right way going into the playoffs, and then you have to play A.J. McCarron in the playoffs because he was a tough guy trying to make a tackle. We've seen other quarterbacks. Baker Mayfield is dealing with a shoulder injury because he tried to make a tackle. You know? Yeah.
Cam Newton made his business decision. Yes. Yeah, Chris Perfett bringing that one back on one that he's always going to get killed for.
Yeah, but in general, live the fight another day. I mean, look, if he can make it, make it. But I've heard people talk, hey, you paying a guy $35, $40 million? You ain't asking him to make tackles. You ever seen Peyton Manning and Tom Brady?
No.
When they sit around and, like, someone's coming after them in the pocket. If someone even gets within 2 feet of them, they feel like they're going to say they just fall down.
No, you got one of those toys in the other room, you know, where you push the base of it and the legs go down. That was Peyton Manning his entire career. Turtle down. Live to see another day. All right, last game.
Packers versus Vikings.
All right, we're going to do this one, obviously, very quickly as we are up against it. We're looking at the Packers. You've heard the Aaron Rodgers injury update. No Aaron Jones, but that's fine. You've got A.J. Dillon for the Vikings, 4-5. Kirk Cousins playing efficient football. Dalvin Cook, Alexander Mattison in the backfield, and obviously Justin Jefferson a handful. Packers third in the league, giving up just 18 points per game. Something's got to give, and Aaron Rodgers has owned Mike Zimmer.
I'm going to go to Packers defense. Packers defense has been playing lights out. They are the reason why the Packers are at the top of the charts. I'm going to go with them. Doesn't matter what Aaron Rodgers does. This defense is locked down. They've only given up 34 points in the last three games. Let's go to Pack.
Pretty interesting with no Smith or Jair Alexander, yeah, and they've been able to do this. But I'm going to call him to rise up one time, and he's going to burn me again. I'm going to take Captain Kirk to win this game outright.
Oh, good luck with that.
Gee, I love the exasperated sigh. Have a great week 11. And happy Thanksgiving, folks.